Homecoming was bittersweet. After 14 months serving her country, Margot Quaid set foot back in the small town of Port Marie, Vermont, in the dead of winter. At present, she sat in the front seat of her car, a beat-up Honda, staring at the imposing structure that was the Nesbitt home. With a large circular driveway and a columned front porch, it screamed wealth. Margot was never much for such obvious signs of money, but she'd accepted the dinner invitation from Derek Nesbitt as a chance to catch up with a former brother-in-arms. The heater blasted stale air into Margot's face, making the strands of her blonde bob flutter under her nose and into her mouth. Time to brave the elements and the gaudy exterior, meet her friend's relatives. It was just dinner. Snow fell outside her window in thick flakes as she donned a hat. After climbing out of the car, she raced up the driveway, careful of her footing. It wouldn't make a very good first impression if she fell before even making it to the door. Ducking under the relative safety of the porch roof, she knocked on the front door. No response. Shivering in the bitter cold, she tugged off her glove and dug around in her coat pocket for her phone. Maybe I got the date or time wrong? The excessive heat of the Middle East threw off her New Englander sensibilities. Her exposed fingers turned red in a matter of seconds. She flipped to her calendar and found that she had not gotten the date or time wrong. Something seemed off. She knocked again. She was about to peer through one of the fogged-over front windows when the door squeaked on its hinges and opened inward. An older Latina woman with graying temples studied Margot in silence. Margot tucked her ungloved hand under her arm to keep it warm as the woman continued to eye her. "Hi, I'm Margot. Derek invited me for dinner." The woman smiled, but it didn't reach her eyes. They remained pinched at the corners with worry. "Please come in," she responded in lightly accented English. Margot darted into the large front hall, grateful for the heat. She shed her coat, hat, and remaining glove. The woman dutifully took them, hanging them on a coat rack next to an old-school radiator. "Everyone is in the dining room," the woman said, and gestured for Margot to follow her. Margot stopped in front of the large staircase that dominated the rest of the entryway. At the end of each balustrade sat a lifelike, full-sized lion and lioness. She stepped closer and shivered, not from the cold, but from the dead look in the animal's eyes. She suspected they had once been alive. As she left the animals to guard their posts, she doubted she would get along with Derek's aunt and uncle.
"Warren, that's unnecessary," a female voice said from a distance.
"Just drop it,"
Derek's voice echoed from deeper in the house. The volume of his voice drew Margot with faster steps through an industrial kitchen to the large dining room. The table could easily seat 20, perhaps 30 people. Only 5 places were set at the far end. 4 of the chairs were presently occupied. Derek was on his feet, leaning over a man with snowy white hair. The woman beside him bore a striking resemblance to the older woman who'd invited Margot into the house, with cinnamon-colored skin and jet-black hair pulled into a loose braid, draped over one shoulder.
"I hope I'm not interrupting," Margot said, making her presence known.
Movement in the room stopped, and Derek turned at the sound of her voice. Their eyes met, and she noticed the fat lip and the bruise under his right eye. Despite his injuries, he stood at attention, hands behind his back. Even though his family was wealthy, Derek had exhibited none of the airs she'd expected. He was polite and kind, ready to help a fellow soldier, no matter the task. He was often the first awake in the morning for cleaning duties, even when it wasn't his assignment. Perhaps that was why they had hit it off so well.
"Ma'am," he said, out of training and habit.
Margot tried to give a kind smile. She understood that the formalities drilled into them in the army were hard to break, and even as a chaplain, she'd outranked him. "It's just Margot these days." Derek took longer to relax from his position than Margot thought was really necessary. The young woman at his side got to her feet and offered Margot her hand.
"I'm Catalina, Derek's wife, and that's my mother, Rosalinda."